And that's why they breathe fire.
You know, and people say, well, couldn't they look in the Bible and figure this out? Well, you know, it kind of gets the, Jesus told a parable about that, the 10 virgins. You know what? The bridegroom cometh. Like, oh, our light is going out. We don't know what's going on. Go to them that sell. But by the time they figure things out, oh, the door is shut. It's too late. Too late to figure it out. And when the watchman says the bridegroom cometh, it isn't the bridegroom is here. It's what it's, that's like the trumpet sounding, you know, the beginning. And then when he comes, they're going to be like, oh, well, he'll probably forgive us. Right. You know, Jesus is so forgiving. We'll just go to him and talk about all the things we did. Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. So let's go on to finish this up. He had power to give life to the evil. So he deceived them, and he told them that all that they should make an image to the beast, which had a woman by a sword and did live. Now that's, it's a governmental system in my mind, so why would it be an image? Here's the thing. Do you think they're going to make an image that's of a dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns? It's going to be like a leopard and a bear and the mouth of a lion. Again, the beast isn't like the dragon. The dragon had 7 heads and 10 horns. But the beast itself was like a leopard, not like a dragon. There's a separation between the beast of, well, between the dragon in chapter 12, though they are similar, and the beast in chapter 13. And this is often called, this is the false prophet. It is called that because later on it says the beast and the false prophet were cast in the lake of fire. And like I said, the dragon is separated from those two, though. You know, the dragon is cast later. So, like I said, it's like the false prophet, it could be a possessed individual, maybe, I don't know. Could be a form which he takes on, which is, you know, his personified form or whatever. I don't know. I really don't. That part of it is not that important to me. Same thing with his image. He's going to make some sort of image of the beast. He's telling the people to do this. The earth-dwelling people, that they should make an image to the beast. They should create a likeness of this beast, which had a womb by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, we could interpret that very literally, like an image of whatever, like an individual, a talking statue that shoots out bolts of lightning and kills people. I suppose it's a possibility. But I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. And if the Lord would reveal it to me, I would gladly share it to you. What is the image of the beast that has life and it's able to cause that as many as not worshipped the image of the beast should be killed? Now, it doesn't necessarily say that the image itself is some sort of deadly statue that kills people. You know, like in the Roman times, there was like a requirement at one point where they had to, you know, burn incense for the emperor or something like that. And they'd set up little stations where people would have to do this. And, you know, and if you wouldn't do that, you were marked for death. Or potentially, I don't know how accurate that history is. It's not important. But the point is, the thing itself does not have to actually perform the murdering. It could just be when people see you won't do it, you're marked for death.
Just like in the book of Daniel, when the 3 Hebrew children were thrown in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't, you know, when the 6 instruments would play, the sackbut and the flute and all that, when they would play, they were supposed to bow down and worship. When they wouldn't, they had to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Well, same thing.
It doesn't mean necessarily instantaneous death. Anyways, but the thing is, once you get to this point, you're either sort of going to be on one side or the other. It's going to be hard for people who are sort of wanting to believe the testimony of the church versus the testimony of the dragon, because they're the ones who are going to be sort of facing that, because we know the witnesses are going to get killed. And he will cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So, he causes all, and it goes to the list, rich, poor, small, great, everybody's got to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And then, and now, is this a literal mark? If it's a literal mark, like a physical, visible mark, because a mark implies some sort of visible mark. You know, it implies something that you can see and that is readily recognizable. In your right hand or in your forehead, if it is a visible mark, which is the most, you know, logical interpretation, that's going to be your not less than worst case scenario, because it could be worse than that. Because, you know, when the devil starts stamping people's hands, that might raise a few eyebrows. Though he'll probably, you know, if he was going to do that, he'd be like, that's the seal of God. You know, you've got to receive the seal of God, as the scriptures say. I need to seal the servants of God in their foreheads, or in their hands, if you prefer. And when we do that, and when we eliminate the opposition, whatever his lies are going to be, I don't know. But, I mean, he could work around it, right? It could still happen just like that. But it also could, it could be a mark. You can be marked without having a mark on you. A man who is marked for death doesn't necessarily, I mean, actually mean like he's marked for death. Doesn't necessarily mean there's a big black X on him. But it means he has been set aside for that purpose. So, I mean, the idea of the mark in the hand could refer to doing the work, and the head being the center of thought. That would be more of a worst case scenario, right? If it's not actually a visible mark. No, do I think it's going to be like, you know, they want to chip people, right? This, the people get all up in arms about the, what are they called? The, those little chips they put in the dogs. And you can get them put in your kids too. And honestly, I think it's a great idea to be able, you know, those tracking chips. I mean, I know a personal freedom definitely kind of scary like that. But as a parent, you know, you think like, wow, you know, I'd always be able to find out where my kid is, even if, you know, God forbid something bad happened. I try to keep pretty good track of them as it is. I understand people who live in more populated areas, you know, where are big cities, and man, you throw your kids out there, they go to school, they go out, they go to the parks, they're exposed.